We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Range from 55 degrees at Danville to 64 degrees at Flora. Breezy and much cooler conditions will be seen across most of the Midwest today. Low pressure located over northeast Michigan will bring scattered showers to most of Michigan and northern Indiana this afternoon, while dry weather will prevail elsewhere. High temperatures today will range from near 50 degrees across northern Wisconsin to the low 70s across southern Missouri and western Kentucky. Overnight lows will range from the upper 20s across northwest Wisconsin to the mid-40s across western Missouri. In the forecast for the rest of today, around Champaign-Urbana, mostly sunny skies. The high 62 degrees. We'll have wind gusts 15 to 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 35. For tonight, mostly clear skies. The low down to 38 degrees. North winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with a high of 60. North winds 10 to 15. For tomorrow night, mostly clear skies. We'll expect patchy frost after midnight. The low 35 degrees. Sunny skies on Sunday. The high 65, clear Sunday evening, the low down to 45, mostly clear skies. Monday and Monday night with a high of 72 and the low back up to 48 degrees. Tuesday through Thursday, mostly clear skies, the high 78, the low 52. Right now in Bloomington, we have 62 degrees, Danville 59, 63 in Decatur, 62 in Mattoon, 61 in Paris, and 61 degrees in Rantoul. At Willard Airport, we have 61 degrees, and on Friends Plaza in Urbana, 62 degrees, the barometer at 30.04 inches.
WILL programs are made possible by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store. Strawberry Fields offers natural vitamins, health and beauty products, household cleaning products, pet foods, and an in-store nutritionist to answer questions about healthy eating. Strawberry Fields on Springfield Avenue in Urbana.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert in for Celeste Quinn. It's 1240. Native son Mark Newman has been on the University of Illinois campus today speaking with faculty and students about his work as counselor for international trade and global strategies for limited brands. His companies include Victoria's Secret. On this homecoming weekend, Newman is being honored as one of the 2011 U of I School of Liberal Arts and Sciences Humanitarian Award recipients. This morning, Mark Newman visited Illinois Public Media. He spoke with guest host Carol Spindell.
Mark Newman, thank you for joining us today. As a business person who deals with supply chains, you understand probably more than most of us that we all live in an interconnected global world. What we in America purchase in our malls has consequences for farmers and workers in other parts of the world. Now, we Americans buy a lot of cotton clothing.
We certainly do. And the challenge for us in a global supply chain is to think about ways to create good, especially to create good for women in that supply chain. And the raw materials side is the starting place. And so what I've been doing over the past 10 years is really focusing on raw materials and asking the question, is there a better, more environmentally sustainable way to secure raw materials at a price that our customers can afford? And is there a way in so doing to help transform the lives of women and the children who depend on them?
And now, women in West Africa have usually been shut out by their husbands and fathers from growing cotton. they usually grow less lucrative food crops. But you decided to buy cotton from them, and in particular, organic cotton. So how did you go about it?
Well, I was looking for good stories, and I was looking for situations where women would control the income that they earned from farming. And the one place I found that was in a West African country called Burkina Faso. And in their culture, in the Mosi culture, it turns out it was considered shameful for a man to take money that was earned by a woman and take it away from her. If he made money and spent it all on himself, as the case in many places, even the United States, that would be okay. But if a woman earned money from farming in Burkina Faso, she controlled that. And I said, that's where I want to be.
Now, why is it so important to get the money into the hands of the women in the households?
No matter what issue you're trying to tackle, whether it's reducing infant mortality, whether it's ensuring the education of girls, whether it's improving child health and the provision of health care, if women earn income, especially in West Africa, you will help advance all the goals in all of those other areas, because women, the first thing they do is take care of their kids, and they will take care of the education of girls in a way that fathers often will not.
Now, this is not a humanitarian enterprise. This is big business on the corporate scale. But you think this is a better approach than to set up a nonprofit organization to help women farmers in West Africa. Tell us why.
You cannot alleviate large-scale poverty. And we're talking about people, the millions, the hundreds of millions of people in West Africa who live on less than a dollar a day. You cannot move forward on that issue unless you think about sustainable incomes. And since most people, the only way they have to generate an income is by farming, how do we integrate them in the supply chain and compensate them directly? Because what we found was a colonial trading system existed for 100 years that was taking all of the profits and leaving very little in terms of those funds for the people who actually did the hard work, which were the women farmers. We were determined to change that, and we think that we've made a difference.
Now, you started, was it 5 years ago? And how many women were involved at that point? And what do we see now?
Well, we see thousands of women who are now involved. We'd like to make it tens of thousands. It's difficult to scale up. We've asked for help. One of the things that I did this morning was meet with crop sciences agronomist graduate students to try to encourage them to spend a few months in West Africa helping scale up this production, because the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of women and the children who depend on them is something that's very appealing to people who are studying at this great university, where I'm a graduate, of course.
Well, we're talking about really small farms here, are we not? These women have just small little farms. It may be hard. Do you think it's going to be hard for Midwestern experts to scale down to think about farming 1 or 2 hectares of cotton?
No, because it's really all about expertise. In this country, we've made enormous investments in the extension services of the different states and the different land-grant universities. And if we can take some of that expertise and apply it to West Africa, I think we can do a tremendous amount of good.
Well, Americans want clothes that are inexpensive. They have shown themselves willing to buy organic cotton. They haven't been particularly interested in the idea of fair trade cotton. What do you think you could get them concerned about if they are buying cotton clothing? What should they think about?
Well, a lot of our customers want us to think about, is this good for women? Did we help improve the lives of women farmers when we grow this cotton? Was this cotton raised in an environmentally sustainable way? Of course, the cotton that I've worked on is 100% rain-fed. We know that water is growing more and more scarce around the world, so this way we're not diverting precious drinking water and using it on crops, because the rain is irrigating this crop, not a water table, which could be used to provide drinking water for women and children. We don't want to take that away. We also want to figure out ways to grow cotton in more environmentally sustainable ways. That means pesticide-free cotton. In this case, that means helping farmers utilize compost. So they're improving the soil. As my environmental science teacher, Dave Castile, would remind me, soil should not be treated like dirt. It's something that sustains your family, so you always want to be building the soil, improving it. And those are some of the things that I've been working on in the last 5 years. And I want to have a story that's a good one to tell our customers about rain-fed, pesticide-free, women-owned and operated. And so we are improving lives, so we're being good to the earth, and we're creating good in the process.
Mark Newman, thank you so much for being with us today.
U of I School of Liberal Arts and Sciences Humanitarian Award honoree Mark Newman. He spoke with Illinois Public Media guest host Carol Spindell.
Annetta Brodsky, a deaf teen living in New York City, discovers the power of American Sign Language poetry as she prepares to be one of the first deaf poets to compete in a youth poetry slam. Our next community cinema, Deaf Jam, follows her journey leading to an unexpected collaboration. The free public screening is at the main Champaign Public Library Tuesday, October 4th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned and the discussion translated by a sign language interpreter.
In a couple of moments on the afternoon magazine, we'll get to the business news. Again, look at weather for today. We're looking for mostly sunny skies, and the winds don't appear to be quite as severe as they were last night. Perhaps tonight we'll have gusts around 35 miles an hour today and a high of 62. Tonight, mostly clear, the low 38 degrees. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny, again, a high of 60 degrees right now on Friends Plaza, 62.
It's the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 30th of September, 2011. It was on this day in 1452 the first section of the Gutenberg Bible was finished in Mainz, Germany, by Johannes Gutenberg. In ancient times, books had been written on scrolls by monks by hand, working with pen and ink, copying manuscripts one page at a time. Gutenberg's genius was to celebrate each element of script into its basic components, lowercase